1 Corinthians chapter 1, right before 2 Corinthians. We'll start reading in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Here's my text for tonight. Laura had no idea what I was preaching on. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I've got to read that again, because that's just good. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's the sinners. That's the ungodly. That's those that are in hell and will be in hell. It's foolishness. It's the homosexual agenda. What we're doing tonight is foolish in their eyes. It's the Supreme Court of the United States. It's the leadership of the United States of America thinks that what we're doing tonight is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's the message tonight, the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. Nothing that you don't already know, but I'm just going to reiterate to you. And I had something else on my heart for the past couple of weeks, but as we were going down through the week, and especially what transpired this week in our country, I really felt this was the direction to go tonight. Just to reiterate you one more time, that the preaching of the cross is still what gets us to heaven. It's still true, and it's still powerful. Now, we have to understand what led to this, what Paul was saying. Paul took several missionary journeys, we know that. And, of course, he writes a couple of letters to Corinth. And the church of Corinth was messed up. Let's just say it that way. It's messed up. If you really want to surmise it, they were full of carnality. They were full of immorality. They abused the communion process. They were making unlawful lawsuits. They were committing fornication. Kind of sounds like a lot of the modern churches today. They were messed up. And really, if we look at it, we look at the church as a place, some people look at it as a social club for people that have got it all lined out perfectly. But that's not what the church is. The church is a place for the hopeless, the helpless, and the hurting to come and find refuge. And I'm thankful that we are not a social club tonight, but Rubyville is a hospital for those that are sick and need a Savior. And may I remind you, we're not all perfect tonight. Such were some of you. You used to be a sinner. You used to be a drug addict. You used to fornicate. You used to mess around. You used to cheat. You used to do all these things and lie and cuss. But thank God, because of the grace of God and because of the preaching of the cross, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Feel like preaching tonight. Hallelujah. People have come here, and people need to come here. They need to come here and hear a message that will change their life. And that message is the preaching of the cross. And Paul encourages them in verse 10. He says, basically, I'll surmise verse 10 for you. He says, I want you to get on the same page. They were all going in different directions. He said, I want you to get on the same page. And in verse 11, he says, I heard there's some contentions. I heard there's some strife. I've heard there's some divisions. In fact, I heard it from the household of Chloe. There's a reason why he put that in there. Obviously, the household of Chloe had clout. So that gave validity to what he was about ready to say. That's why on the prayer chain calls, we always say who they're coming through by. When you call a prayer chain through, we'll say your name. That way there's validity to it. That's what Paul was doing. He said, I want to give validity. I'm just not making this stuff up. I'm telling you there's divisions, and I know there's divisions, so here's the problem. The problem is verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. He says, is Christ divided? Some of you are saying that I'm the best. Some of you are saying Apollos is the best. Some of you are saying Cephas is the best. Some of you are saying Christ is the best. He said, you're all divided. You're all mixed up. You all think that the power is coming through a man. He said, I didn't baptize in my name, did I? In fact, I'm glad I didn't baptize a lot of y'all because you would think I'd be the best. But I'm not the best. I didn't come to baptize anyway. He said, the reason I came is to preach to you the message of the cross. That's what he said. And he said, really, when you look at it, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And before I get into the heart of the message, I just got to just point out something to you. I noticed something there and I looked it up in the Greek. The words which are saved is one Greek word. And it's not just talking about one moment in time. It's talking about a process. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, well, you know that when you're saved, when you're born again, that's not the end of it, right? And really, this is an outline we use a lot. But when we are saved and born again, we are saved from the penalty of sin. Christ forgives us, and thank God we have a reservation in heaven. But as we go through life, let's all be truthful tonight. We're not grown angel wings. We make mistakes and we sin. But he said, brethren, I'd rather that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. So while we are living this Christian life, we are saved from the power of sin. But thank God there will come a day when we're saved from the presence of sin. That's what he's talking about. You're not only saved when you're saved and born again, but you're being saved and you will be saved. Thank God I'm not what I was, but hallelujah, I'm not what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The problem with the modern church is we've become seeker sensitive. And we don't want to preach messages about the cross because it's become offensive. Well, if you notice, and I'll just point out to you, everywhere you look in this church is a cross. You can't come in the door without seeing a cross. You can't look up in front of you without seeing a cross. And for those of you that may not know and may not realize that when this church was built, when the steel was put together, at the very top of the steel, there's an extra flange that had to be put in just for this church. And that flange made a perfect cross. So if you would have looked at this church when it was just being built and the steel structure was up, down the middle of this church is a cross. And they said, why in the world did you put it there? They said that little flange is what's holding this church together. So really when you think about it, the cross is what's holding this church together. And listen, every church, I don't even want to call them churches, but every church that doesn't promote the cross and every pastor that don't preach the cross, they are doomed to fail because preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. They don't want to preach a message of the cross because the message of the cross is a message of self-sacrifice. It is a message of submission. It is a message of dying out to the sin and to the world. It's a message of being rejected. It's a message of being crucified, even though you're not guilty. It's a message of being punished for the wrong that you did not do. It's a message of being publicly embarrassed and exposed. It's a message of being forsaken by those that you thought loved you, but yet you still love them. It's a message of a God that looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. It's a message of a sin debt that has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there have been thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that have been crucified. But listen, not one drop of their blood can cleanse anybody from sin. But it took the precious Lamb of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful to report tonight, His blood is still able to save you. Hallelujah. The preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is also a message that Satan was defeated and forever will be defeated. As Angie preached, sang this morning in her message of song, she said, we are not defeated. You know why? Because Satan was already defeated when Jesus said, it is finished. Aren't you glad that we don't have to, even though he battles us, he's fighting a losing battle because we've already won the war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The message, the preaching of the cross. What is really, let's break down four quick points and I'll get you out of here. What's the preaching of the cross? Number one, the preaching of the cross is this, that we can be proud of the cross. All of our pride should be pointed toward the cross. Jeff Chin, would you care to stand tonight and read Galatians 6:14?
God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
Amen. Repeat it one more time. One more time.
But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
He says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. You know what that tells us? Every success, every goal, every dream that you've had, every blessing that you've had, everything that you've ever gotten, every breath you take, every day that you have upon this world, thank God it's all because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't be arrogant tonight and think that you have done anything. You have not done one thing. If you've done anything, it's because it's the power of God that has blessed you, and it's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. I have done nothing. I have accomplished nothing. But thank God I can glory in one thing tonight, and that's that Jesus died for me on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All because of Christ. The preaching of the cross is that all of our pride should be in the cross. The preaching of the cross, secondly, is that we need to pick up our cross daily. Ryan McClay, Luke 9:23.
If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
That's our theme for youth camp this year, being cross-fit. Let him deny yourself, take up his cross. We always want to skip past the word daily. That's the word. Not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night if you choose to come or not choose to come. If you're being complacent and don't want to come. No, it's not that. It's every day of our life. When we wake up and put our feet on the ground, our cross goes with us. So what's that mean? If that means, now listen close, if that means we should pick up our cross daily, that means we are a crucified person every day of our lives. If we're a crucified man or a woman, that means our hands are crucified and our hands will not go where the cross does not want us to go. If your hands go somewhere, the cross has to go with it. If the cross don't belong, then you don't belong. A crucified man or woman means their feet are nailed to the cross. That means your feet will not take you where the cross does not want you to go. That means if you try to go somewhere, young people, if you try to go to a party where you know there's alcohol and there's things going on, and you try to go there and the cross doesn't fit or doesn't belong, then that means you don't belong either. It also means that when we're crucified, that means our head is on the cross. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. That means our head is crucified. That means all these gates that we have on our head, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, everything is crucified. Brother Deb always used to say, you can't keep the birds from flying around your head, but don't let them land in your hair. That means everything we watch, everything we listen to, if the cross don't belong, we don't belong either. Daily, daily, daily. That's the preaching of the cross. We need to pick it up. Number three, the preaching of the cross is this. There is a price of being a disciple. Jason Hobbs, would you care to stand and read Luke 14:27?
And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Did you listen to that? Read it one more time.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Cannot be, thank you, be my disciple. That tells us in order to carry the cross, we have to pay a price to be a disciple. You notice that the Bible did not say a believer. It did not say he cannot be a believer. It says he cannot be a disciple. You know there's a difference. The devils believe and tremble. But only a disciple can truly follow Christ. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus was who he said he was, but yet they do nothing to show that they are. And I surmise we probably have a lot of you tonight that say, oh, Lord, oh, yes, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. Oh, I believe, but yet you never do anything to show that you are a disciple. And a disciple will do something for Jesus. Because think about it. He did everything for you, and all he wants is for us to tell others about the cross. Good preaching. A disciple lets the Word of God dictate his life. And listen, you'll notice that the previous verse I read to you, that they read to you, and this one says, take up his cross. You understand? It's a personal relationship. It's your cross. It's not mommy and daddy's cross that you have to carry. They're not carrying it for you. As much as I love my papa, and as much as I miss him every day of my life, and you all know how much I loved him, he carried his own cross. He could not carry it for me. My mom and dad can't carry it for me as much as I love them. As much as I love my pastor, he cannot carry my cross. As much as I love you, and I would do anything for this church and for you and your family, but I cannot carry your cross. His cross. That's the preaching of the cross. And the best part is, the last point, the preaching of the cross shows us just how powerful the cross is. Tom Smith, would you care to stand and read Ephesians 2:14-16?
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
What he said there was that because of the cross, before the cross, there was a separation. The opposite of reconciliation is there's a separation. And before the cross happened, there was a separation. There was a separation of Jew and Gentile, and also there was a separation between us and God. You all know what that separation was. It was the veil of the temple. The veil of the temple was the separation between us and the presence of God. Only the high priest, you know that, could go behind into the holiest of holies and offer the sacrifice. But when Christ died, and because of the cross, the Bible says, and you know this, that when he said it is finished, the veil was rent from top to bottom. And you know what that meant? just what Tom was saying tonight. That brought reconciliation between not only the Jew and the Gentile, but also between us and God. That meant that everyone, hallelujah, had access to God's presence. And you know why? It's all because of the cross. That's the power. Those who were afar off, now because of the blood, have been made nigh. You know what that means? We have been brought together. We have been joined. Thank God. Hallelujah. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You know what He's saying there in Romans chapter 8? He's saying that when we take up our cross, and if we suffer with Him, just as He suffered, if you're willing to take up your cross, He said we will also be glorified with Him. It's all because of the cross. The preaching of the cross.